Can we just give God praise once again? Can we honor him with the ovation of praise? To God be the glory and the praise and the honor. Amen. As you remain standing, please turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians, the 3rd chapter, and verses 13 and 14. Amen. I want to preach this message if it were to be my last. Matter of fact, it is my last of this year. Amen. And I've got a word from the Lord today. And I'm going to do my best by the help of the Holy Ghost and his anointing to share what he's laid upon my heart this morning. As you're turning there, I was asked to remind all of our ladies that there will be no ladies meeting this Tuesday night. So no ladies meeting on Tuesday night of this year, this coming month in January. So just if you didn't know, please keep that in mind. Tuesday night, no ladies meeting. I'm going to ask, as you have turned there with me, are there some things you went through in 2017 that you don't want to have to repeat? Amen. Some things you've been through, you're like, Lord, I'm glad that's done with. I'm glad that's over. Amen. But are there also some things that you've been believing God for that you did not come into fruition, that you did not see come to pass, but you're believing 2018 is going to be the year? Amen. 2018 is going to be the year that God is going to do what I've been asking him to do, and believe in God for that which I need him to bring to pass. Amen. I want you to look with me in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And the word of God declares this: Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And notice with me again in verse 13. He said, Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Everybody say, one thing I do. Now here's what he's telling us. So you got to have focus on this. You got to have a made up mind about some things you're asking and believing God for. And the devil wants you to lose focus. He wants you to be distracted. But I've come to tell you today, there's one thing God's telling us that we need to do. And I want us to focus on this one thing this morning as we close the chapter out in 2017, open a blank page for 2018. One thing I do, and here's what it is: forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And for just a few moments, I want to minister to you on this thought. Your past does not define your future. God gave me this word a few days ago. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, your past does not define your future. Tell him this: I'm going to forget the things which are behind, and I'm going to reach forward to the things which are ahead. Now let's give God praise if you believe that. Amen. To God be the glory and the praise and the honor. And you can be seated. The Apostle Paul said, one thing I'm going to do. I've got a made up mind that I'm going to forget the things which are behind me. How many have some things from 2017 you wish you could forget? Amen. There's some things that we want to just put behind us, and we don't want to have to remember those things anymore. And a lot of times the devil will do what he can to bring things back up that really need to be behind us. Things that God has forgiven us of, that he wants to remind us of those things. But Paul said we got to learn to be forgetful when it comes to our past. There's some things that we have to learn to erase out of our memory. I heard about a man that moved into a retirement community and to spend the rest of his life there. He wasn't there long before he made a number of friends, and among the other residents there. And there was one particular lady there that he became attracted to, and she also became attracted to him. And so they spent a lot of time together, and they would have dinner together. And finally he popped the question, and he proposed to her one night. But then the next morning, when they woke up, he remembered proposing to her, but he couldn't remember her answer, whether she said yes or no. And so embarrassingly, he went up to her and said, "You know, I'm really embarrassed. I know I got on my knee last night. I proposed to you. I asked you to marry me, but forgive me. I can't remember if you said yes or no." And her reply was, "Oh, thank goodness. I remembered saying yes, but I couldn't remember who it was that asked me." Now, fortunately, my dad has a plaque there at the house that says, when you get old, there's two things you lose with old age, and that's memory, and I forget what else. But fortunately, our memory's better than that. But there are some things. Let me just preach to you for a few moments. There's some things that we wish we could erase from our memories in our past. And I've got a word from the Lord for somebody today. Now I want to tell you, by the help and by the grace of God, there are some things that you can put behind you and forget. There's some things the Lord says that you must leave behind. Apostle Paul here is he's comparing our Christian walk with that of a marathon race or with that of a foot race. And he uses here, as he would also do in the book of Hebrews 12, the marathon or the imagery here of a runner in a race, in a marathon. And in this race that we're running, you don't have to be the first one to cross over to win. You just have to make sure you cross the finish line. Jesus said, "He that endures to the end shall be saved." The race doesn't go to the swift, it doesn't go to the strong. It just goes to those who faithfully cross over. And how many would testify today, "I've been in this thing too long to quit. I've gone too far to turn back now." Does anybody believe today the race is nearly won? That it's not, I believe, listen, this thing is winding down to a close. Anybody looking for the soon coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. This race is almost won. It's not going to be long. Oh, I feel this in my spirit today. It's not going to be long till we hear music being played from another world, when Gable's going to blow that trumpet and we're going to hear that loud blast, and gravity for the child of God is going to lose its hold, and we're going to be ushered above the treetops and to the heavenly realm to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm not preaching some kind of false hope or pie in the sky theology. I'm here to tell you, it's sure, just as sure as he came once, he said, "I will come again and receive that where I am, there you might be also." I'm here to tell you, I was looking for him in 2017, but this year's not over yet. He could come before midnight tonight, but if he doesn't appear in 2017, rest assured, when I get up in the morning on New Year's Day, I'm going to be looking up, because I believe his coming is at the door, and Jesus could come at any moment in the twinkling of an eye. He didn't come yet, but I'm here to tell you, although it may seem he has delayed his coming, he said, "I will come again, and to those that look for me will I appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Anybody still believe in 2017 that Jesus is still coming again? Give him praise. Hallelujah. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But until that time, listen, we've got to live faithfully and keep on running this race. When I started out running this race many years ago, there's a lot of people that was running with me that dropped out. There's some, since I've been your pastor, who is running this race with us that has slipped by the wayside, and they're no longer running this race. You know many, and you know some, maybe even your own family. At one time, they were faithful. They were strong in the faith and living for God, and they were running this race, but they got distracted. They began to look behind, and they began to dwell on Egypt and the things of the past, and did what the Bible said don't do, and that is a turn back. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Listen, the devil will do everything he can to cause you to go back to Egypt. He wants you in bondage. He wants you to drop out of the race. He doesn't want you to finish strong. But I'm here to tell somebody today, it's time you take a new grip. It's time you get a made up mind and say, as for me and my house in 2018, we will serve the Lord, and we're going to be faithful to God till the very end. Hallelujah. Hold fast that which you have, Jesus said, that no man take your crown. Glory to God. I feel him in this place this morning. And as we're running this race, Paul said, one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to forget the things which are behind me. When a runner has begun his race, the last thing he needs to do is continue to be looking over his shoulder to see who's behind him. Because if you do that very often, you're going to get passed up. You got to run and not look back. You got to forget the things which are behind me. Just as a runner must completely forget his opponents who are following him in the race. Listen, there's some people in your past that you need to leave behind. Listen, we love everybody, and we're there for everybody, but let me tell you something. You better choose your friends wisely. Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. And there's some people that the devil has used as something to try to trip you up, and as a stronghold, and the Lord says you need to forget them and put them behind you. Pray for them, love them. If they need you, you do what you can for them, but you cut all ties, because the enemy will use them in order to pull you out of this race. I can't allow others to distract me in this thing. I can't allow others to pull me back to where they are. I got to keep my eyes focused on the prize. I can't look back. I can't turn back. I can't even allow the mistakes or people in my past to hinder my progress, because it will if I let it. If I keep looking back. Now Paul said, there's some things in my life I've got to let go of. I've got to forget. And that doesn't define me anymore. That's not the kind of person I am. I don't run with that same crowd anymore. I don't do those same things anymore. I don't act that way. I don't talk that way. I don't live that way anymore. He said, there's some things in my past that I've got to put behind me. I believe one of those things he was talking about was his pride or self-accomplishments. Because at one time, Paul was a very prideful man. You know what? And pride is what keeps a lot of people from serving God. Pride is what got Satan kicked out of heaven. Pride is what's keeping a lot of people in bondage. Paul said, you know, leading up to our text, he talked about his previous pre-conversion life and before he come to Christ, and he talked about how that I was circumcised the eighth day. I was of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning law, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I was zealous. I was a persecutor of the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He was talking about his resume he had and things he thought really mattered. He was boastful at one time. He was proud of his accomplishments, of the man he was. Oh, here's Paul. Look at Saul. His name was Saul. Here's Saul. When Saul walked in the room, people took attention, and they honored him. He was a man of great credentials, and he had a long list of accomplishments. He said, that was who I am. But he says this, that's no longer who I am, that's who I was.
He said, because when I came to know Jesus, he said in verse 7 of chapter 3, the things which were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. That these things do not define the person I am anymore. These things at one time might have been important to me and made me swell up with the pride and hold my head high. But he said, now I count all but dung that I may win Christ. Oh, let me tell you something today. A lot of people, if they're not careful, is going to allow their prideful accomplishments and achievements of this world to keep them from going in the rapture when the trumpet sounds, or keep them from going to heaven when they die. Why do you say that, preacher? Because there's a lot of people today that have built their life on the things of this world, but Jesus said it like this: what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world but yet lose his own soul? We brought nothing in and will take nothing out. He said the things I thought was important really doesn't matter anymore. You know, we spend a lot of our time, lives, wasting our lives away over things that really don't matter. When we get to heaven, it ain't going to matter. So why do we make such a big deal of it now? He said, you know what? All that I care about now is just to know him in verse 10. To know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Listen, our goal, our ultimate aim ought to be one thing, and that is to know him, to serve him, to love him, to worship him. It's about him. How many still believe it's still in Jesus we live and move and have our very being? If we came for any other reason today than to worship him and love him and honor him, we've come for the wrong reason. We came today for one sole purpose, and that is to lift up the name of Jesus as Lord, that he is worthy of our praise, and he is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Let's just take a 30-second praise break and give him glory. It's about Jesus. It was about Jesus in 2017, and as long as I'm your pastor, it's still going to be about Jesus in the year and in the years to come. We've come to worship him. That's what the apostle said. He said, it ain't about me anymore, it's about him. We got a lot of performers today, a lot of entertainers, a lot of pulpiteers. And any time the focus is off God and on man, we've crossed the line. Listen, the attention that we need to have today is not on a preacher, not on a group, not on a person, but it's on Jesus. We got to get our eyes on him. I'm afraid in the 21st century church, we made it all about who's going to entertain me today, or who's doing this, or who's doing that. Listen, if we just showed up for no other reason, if nobody even took a microphone in their hand, and we just came to say, I love you, Jesus, that's what it's all about. We've come to worship him and praise him, for he alone is worthy. And we need to get our focus back on what we're here for and who we're here to praise. Amen. Glory to God. I didn't mean to go off on that. None of that was in my notes. So that's free of charge right there. Amen. Paul said, it ain't about me anymore. And I'm going to forget all about who people identify me. I'm just a servant. He said, I'm just a chief of sinners. That's all I am. I'm the least of the apostles. God humbled that man. And he come to realize it ain't about me. It's about him. It's about Jesus. But you know what? There's also some things that Paul struggled with in it of his past. That was the mistakes he made and the sins he committed, all in the name of religion. And I'm sure he dealt with a guilty conscience just like many of us do when we do things and we've done things we're ashamed of. And there's nothing we can do to change them. We can't turn the clock back. We can't repeat what we did yesterday or last week or last month. There's some things that we've done that we shouldn't have done, and things we've said we shouldn't have said, I'm sure, and ways we've treated people we shouldn't have treated them. And the reality is, listen, we can try to make amends and do right, but there's some things we can't change. Just like a runner who cannot repeat the same ground he's run, there's some things in your past that you have no control over, and you have to learn by the grace of God, by the help of God, to forget those negative events of your past and past failures and past mistakes and past hurts that's going to try to hold you back. Because all these things are a stumbling block that will hinder our walk with the Lord. And we've all done things in our past we're not proud of. Paul had held the coats of those who martyred the first believer in the New Testament, Stephen, and carried out that act of murder against the first Christian. And then he was responsible for many other Christian deaths before he came to know Christ as Savior. And I'm sure the devil gave him a hard time about that. Who are you preaching? Look what you did. You're preaching to the same people that you tried to kill and that you had put to death. What do you think you are? You ain't no preacher. You're not a Christian. Any devil ever work on any of you like that? You ain't worthy. Look what you've done. Look where you've been. And the devil try his best to dig up your past and do his best to make you feel bad about the things you've done. And, you know, Paul said, I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. They call me one, but I'm really not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But, somebody say but. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. In other words, I did it in ignorance, but God showed me mercy. And by his grace, I'm saved. By his grace, I am forgiven. By his grace, I've been called to preach the gospel. And by his grace, I will serve him all the days of my life. If any man or woman, he said, be in Christ Jesus, you are a brand new creation, and the old things are passed away, and behold, all things or become new. I want somebody to understand this morning, there's nothing in your past that's more powerful than the blood of Jesus. His blood will cleanse you and set you completely free. Your past does not have to define your future, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. How many are thankful for the grace of God this morning? Can we give him praise? You show me one perfect man or woman in the Bible outside of Jesus, and I'll give you $1,000 today. Jesus built his church out of a bunch of misfits and rejects and castaways. You know why? Because that's the one that God can use as a realize it's not about me, it's about him. I don't deserve it, but by his grace I am what I am. Oh, hallelujah. You see, God, you know why God uses imperfect people? You know why God uses imperfect people? It's because that's the only kind there is. Matter of fact, I'd just like to put up a sign in front of the church that says, no perfect people allowed. You know, perfect people don't go to heaven. Forgiven sinners do. Oh, hallelujah. It's because of the blood of Jesus. It's because of the forgiveness of God and the grace of God. Not our perfection, but the perfection of Jesus Christ and him crucified, who paid our price as our substitute, who lived a perfect, sinless, and holy life. And today, his perfection has become my perfection. His perfection has become your perfection. And by his blood, you are cleansed and you are forgiven and you are made righteous in the sight of God. Not by our own righteousness, but by his grace. He has saved us, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You got a testimony today. I may not be all he wants me to be or where I need to be, but thank be unto God, I'm not what I used to be. Can anybody testify to the Lord this morning? Thank you, Jesus. I'm not the man. I'm not the woman I used to be. I got a long way to go. I'm not there yet, but God is working on me, and I refuse to live in yesterday. I'm free. I'm forgiven. It's a new day and a new hour, hallelujah, as a child of God for me. Let me share this with you. We forget the things which are behind me. Here's what the Lord spoke to me. There's other things we need to forget, not just sins of our past. But there's some of us that may be holding on to past hurts and unforgiveness that's tripping us up, that's keeping you in bondage. Because of something somebody has did to you, or the way they treated you, and you've allowed bitterness in your heart to take root, and it's hindering you. Listen, this is what the Lord, Holy Ghost, told me to tell you this. I tell you this in love because I want you to be free today. Don't allow hurts, don't allow the actions of others to hold you back and to hinder you and to hurt you. Because the only person that's hurting is you. And listen, unforgiveness will keep you in bondage. Here's what Jesus said. A matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 5, he said, when you bring your gift to the altar, if you're going to bring me something, if you're going to offer me worship, but you remember that there's a brother or a sister that has aught against you, he said, go and first be reconciled to them. Make things right with them first. Before you bring me your gift, make everything right with that one that has aught against you. Or if there's unforgiveness there, whatever it is, if there's an unresolved issue, the Lord said, make it right with them first. And then after that, you bring me your gift. Matter of fact, both of you come. And then offer me your worship. Jesus, when he gave us the model prayer, he taught us to pray, Lord, forgive me of my sins as I forgive those who sin against me. You realize that our forgiveness is hinged on whether, first of all, we're willing to forgive others. Here's what, I didn't say it, Jesus said it. Here's what Jesus said. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive yours. Straightforward words. Don't shoot the messenger. Amen. I'm just telling you what the Lord said. Amen. I want you to be free. I want you to walk in the spirit of liberty and freedom. And I'm here to tell you, the devil will try to use that to hold you back and to hinder you and to keep you in bondage. But I'm here to tell somebody this morning, whatever's been done to you, whatever's been said, in the name of Jesus, put it under the blood of Christ and move on. Put it behind you. Forgiveness doesn't make the other person right, but it will make you free. You know what it does? It doesn't take them off the hook. It just puts them in the hand of God. And let me tell you something. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. God's big enough to take care of it. God can handle it, and he'll do it the right way at the right time. You just let the Lord take care of it. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Just give it to God. Hallelujah. Ashley, if you'll come. Forgive the things which are behind, and then in closing, he said, reach for the things which are ahead. How many believe in God this morning for greater things in 2018? How many are believing God for to do something better and something greater in your life, in your family, in your business, in your home in 2018? Hallelujah. I believe, listen, I really believe with all my heart that we're on the verge we're just right there. We've just barely tapped into what God has in store for this church and for you and for me and for our families and for our lives. I believe we are right there. The past few months seem like we've been going through a pruning season, and God's been doing some shaking and some shifting. And God told me, he said, you just stand back. Let me handle it. Let me take care. I know what I'm doing. It's my church. And listen, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, first comes the pruning, but then comes the reaping. Hallelujah. And I'm declaring in the name of Jesus, in 2018 it's going to be the year of the harvest. It's going to be the year of reaping for the people of God and for the Grenada Church of God and for every person that calls this their church home. I declare in the name of Jesus, 2018 is the year of God's favor and the year of God's increase in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Joy is coming in the morning. If you believe that, stand with me to your feet, lift your hands, and worship the Lord in this house. Paul said, I'm going to press toward every goal. I'm going to press toward the goal. I'm going to strain. I'm going to discipline myself. I'm going to use every muscle. I'm going to have a made-up mind. And you hear me today. It's not how you start the race that matters. It's whether or not you finish. I'm going to encourage you today. Have a made-up mind. I'm going to finish strong. I'm going to finish strong. I want you to make a new commitment to God today. Listen, not to me, not to some. I want you to make a personal commitment to God and say, God, help me in 2018 to serve you better and be more committed this coming year than I ever have in my life. That let 2018 be the year that, Lord, I'm going to serve you with everything that's within me. You know what the Bible says? If you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. And the reason God is not drawing near is because, first of all, maybe we're not drawing near to start with. And I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to challenge you today in the name of Jesus to make a commitment to God this moment that says, God, I'm going to serve you faithfully and with everything within me in 2018, how many is ready to take a new grip today and hold on tighter to that plow and say, I'm not looking back? I want to challenge you today. Listen, husbands and wives, make a new commitment to God, to your marriage and your family, to serve the Lord and to be faithful to God and be faithful to one another. The Bible says in Joshua 24 and 15, choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In other words, it's a deliberate choice, a decision. It won't just happen haphazardly. You got to make a decision. You have to make a deliberate choice and say, this is what I'm going to do. And make a commitment to God to serve him faithfully. And I'm going to challenge you dads to be the priest of your home, the leader of your family. They're dependent on you and they need you to take charge and to lead your family in the ways of God. And moms, I'm going to encourage you today to pray over your babies and your children and your grandchildren, to love them, pray over them, bring them to the house of God. Dads, bring your children to the house of God. We make everything else a priority. We make sure that they're at ball practice on time and they go to school and they do their homework and they're home at a certain time. But listen, if we really value Jesus and his house like we should, we'll make his house a priority and the things of God a priority. You realize there's nothing more important than what you're doing right now than serving the Lord and putting him first as we start, as we end this new year and as we welcome the new one to come, or end this year and welcome the new year. When Jesus is first, everything else comes together. Amen. When he said, seek first me and my kingdom, all these things will be added to you. I'm going to challenge you this morning. In the name of Jesus, who would join with your pastor, say, Lord, today is a new day and a fresh start. And right now I'm going to make a commitment, Lord. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I don't know what this coming year is going to bring. But Lord, I do know this. As for me, I'm going to serve you. As for me and my house, God, we're going to be faithful to you. I'm going to ask you to start this new year off right and the best way you can. And that is making a commitment to God for the sake of you and the sake of your family. To say, Lord, help me to serve you faithfully. I'm praying for families and marriages and homes and lives. This young couple right here, guess what? Tomorrow they're celebrating 63 years of marriage. Amen. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. You know, that's a testimony. You can make it if you want to. Amen. There may be hard times. There may be difficult times. I want to encourage some of you young couples and some of you young families. Why don't you mentor with some of these older couples and families that God has helped them serve him and be together and live together. Amen. Let them mentor you and encourage you in the Lord. We need that in the church. Amen. We need that. The devil's having a heyday today. He wants to destroy the work of God, the church, the family. Don't let him do it. Take a stand today. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. How many would make that commitment to God? If you would, as Ashley plays, would you step out and just join me in front of this sanctuary right now? Can we pray that prayer together? Can we make that commitment before the Lord as a body? And not just as a church body, but as individual believers. I'm asking you to make a personal commitment to the Lord right now. If you have an unsaved spouse, whether it's an unsaved husband or unsaved wife, I'm letting you know right now, listen, and I'm letting the devil know, because they're on the number one prayer hit list. I'm believing in 2018 that God, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, is going to save some unsaved husbands. And God is going to save some unsaved wives. And God's going to bring some families together as one in the faith. And I'm here to declare right now in the name of Jesus, if you've got an unsaved loved one, you may be standing up here, maybe the only member of your family, but I'm here to tell you in the name of Jesus, I'm here to declare by the word of the Lord, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your household. And I'm believing for the salvation of every family member in your home. Every backslidden son, every wayward daughter, we call them back home in the name of Jesus. Devil, you can't have them. You can't have our grandbabies. You can't have our sons and daughters. You can't have our marriages. You can't have our homes. The blood of Jesus covers us. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against you. Thank you, Lord. There's a hedge. And I speak and pray a hedge over each one. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And God, we believe in 2018 is going to be the year that we're going to see the backslider come home and our lost loved ones saved and their hearts made right with you, Jesus. And we declare and we believe it. And God, by faith, we're going to thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Now, here's what I want you to do. Listen to me. Search your heart. Say, God, if there's anything in my life, maybe you're battling with hurt, emotional pain that's been inflicted by somebody that you trusted or loved. And you know the devil's using that as a stronghold in your life. And I'm going to listen, I'm trying to help you today. I'm just sharing what God spoke to me, the Holy Ghost told me. Let it go. Let it go. Put it on the blood right now. Forgive them right now. If you need to go call them after this service or go to them, if they're here, or whatever you need to do, or go pay them a visit, I want you to do that in the name of Jesus. Go to them and you make peace with them. whether they forgive or whether, you know, you're probably the one that feels like you deserve the apology to be one forgiven. That whatever they do is up to them, but you forgive them and you release them and you make it right. And you're going to live 2018 free in the name of Jesus. And that's not going to be a hindrance anymore. Some of you, maybe you're wrestling with things that you've done or mistakes you've made. I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to believe by the blood of Jesus, you are forgiven, you are free, and don't let the devil bring those back up anymore because they're under the blood. Here's what the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. They are gone, they are forgiven, and you are free in the name of Jesus. You are free. I want you to lift your hands toward heaven right now. I'm not going to lead you in prayer. I just want you to pray in your own way. Whatever it is that you need to put behind you, do it now. Whatever it is you need forgiveness of, do it now. Whatever it is you need to forget, do it now. And make a commitment that from this day forward, Jesus, I'm going to walk in the newness of life. I'm going to keep my eyes on you. I'm going to press forward to the things which are ahead of me. Pray that right now in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on. Give it to God. Give it to the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, right now. Thank you. By the blood, we are forgiven and we are free. Thank you, Jesus, that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. And there is now, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No longer condemned. We are free. No longer held against us. We are forgiven. We have been cleansed. And we are free. And Lord, we forgive and release any of those who sinned against us or hurt us. Oh God, if there's any bitterness or anger or unresolved conflict or unforgiveness in our hearts, oh God, forgive us, we pray. And Lord, we forgive those who have sinned against us as we seek forgiveness from you. For Lord, you said if we forgive others of their trespasses, even so also will our Heavenly Father forgive us of our trespasses. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We got a song you could lead us in, just a chorus or something. Thank you, Jesus.